Thanks a lot for tuning in. We are the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. It's a night of hauntings and ghosts. Troy Taylor joins me in the first 2 hours, and Troy has written over 120 books about ghosts, crime, and the unexplained in America. His new book, American Hauntings, The Rise of the Spirit World. And then the last 2 hours of tomorrow night's show, Colin Dickey is with me. His new book, Ghostland, An American History in Haunted Places. So we'll hear some of the world's most famous ghost stories from some of the most famous haunted locations around the world. So check that out. Make sure you're a part of the show with us. And tonight, listen, we're getting closer to Halloween. I'd love to get your calls. What is the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you? Whether it's ghosts or Bigfoot encounters, creature encounters, psychic phenomena, I'd love to hear your stories tonight if you'd like to share them with me. The phone lines are open. You can also email me directly at dave@darknessradio.com. And I want to mention to you, one of the frequent contributors to Coast AM, Jeff Belanger, has a podcast program called New England Legends. And these are really cool. They're nice little pocket podcasts, if you will. They're around 10 minutes in length, and they talk about different aspects of New England legends. And I know Jeff's been on the show numerous times with Coast to Coast AM, but you can find his stuff at rnewenglandlegends.com. And he's got a brand new episode out for Halloween, Captain Jedediah Cole and the Devil, which gives a really cool version of Halloween and where we get jack-o'-lanterns from. I know that George and Tommy like to help highlight some really cool podcasts out there, and this is a great show for you, and especially because they're nice little morsels. You can get little 10-minute bites of fantastic history and hauntings all wrapped up in one. And I don't know if you guys heard this, too, with the popularity of Stranger Things, and now Stranger Things Season 2 just came out on Netflix, and you see in one of the scenes all the boys are dressed up in Ghostbusters regalia. The big question was, how did they get permission to do that? Well, they reached out to Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman, and both of them thought it was great, especially because the series takes place right in that era of time, and it made sense. They would be the Ghostbusters of their time as well. So they've added that, but Dan Aykroyd, I guess, went on record as saying that he would like to see Ghostbusters appear as a Netflix TV series. And I wonder what you think about that. Obviously, the new movie didn't explode as they hoped it would, and it seems, from all intents and purposes, to have killed the franchise. But would you like to see it come back as a series that you could binge watch on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on that. There's a really funny series out there. It's actually a fan-made series, but Ernie Hudson makes a cameo as his character, Winston Zeddemore. It's called Ghostbustin' 911, and you can find that online. But that's a really clever little series that they did. It's kind of in the vein of Cops and Ghostbusters meld together, and it's a great little series if you're looking for something fun to watch. Again, there's short little vignette videos, but check out Ghostbustin' 911. We're going to take your calls this evening. I want to hear what you want to talk about. I also want to know what you think would be great movies or shows for us to watch for the Halloween season. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and get right back into your calls. And remember, you can email me if you'd like to share your stories or thoughts at dave@darknessradio.com, and I will try to weave them in throughout the remainder of the show. Stay tuned. Your calls continue next on Coast to Coast AM. Phone lines are open on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Kevin in Titusville, Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thanks a lot for listening this evening. What did you want to talk about?
Oh, boy. Yeah, for a second. I was waiting earlier, and I had an idea for a dream, and then your helper got on just like a minute ago and said, hey, the guest is gone. I said, well, I've got one. I've got the scary one, an experience. I was sitting, 2013. In a home, I was kind of homeless, house surfing, as it were, and I was working for this lady doing some cleaning work just to make the rent. So I'm sitting up late at night, and I was unfortunately smoking at the time. I've since quit, but smoking these cigarettes she was buying me, these old Cubo cigar cigarettes, which are terrible for you. Cigarettes are terrible anyway. I had this chest pain. I'm going, oh my God, no, I don't want to do this. And it was this pressure on my chest. I called 911 on myself. I was sitting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning alone. The ambulance came real quick, and the ambulance and the fire truck, and they all came in the house, checked me, they wired me up, checked my numbers, and they said I was okay. And I was still scared. I said, man, I had this chest pain. So they looked at me. They're all looking down at me, sitting in this recliner going, what do you want to do? I said, I'll go to the hospital. I don't feel right. And they took me to the hospital. I'm in the ER, you know, rushed me to the hospital in the ambulance. I was laying in there, and my heart stopped. I basically, they said later I was dead for like 10 or 15 seconds. But I remember vividly looking down and seeing all the doctors and all these, all of a sudden everybody descended. You know, there was, I don't remember what I heard exactly, code blue, whatever, but there were probably 15 or so people around my gurney in the ER, and they were, did those, whatever you call those, you know, on your chest, to get me going again.
Oh, right. Using the paddles?
The paddles, dude.
Yes.
Dave, I had died, as I said, and I, these are stories a lot of people have told, but this happened to me, guy. And, I ended up within a few minutes after getting me, however stabilized, they put a stent from my crotch up to my lower anterior descending artery. But I had died, and I saw this happening, and yeah, that's creepy. It's not like going through a dark tunnel and seeing space, you know, shapeshifters, but that was scary enough for me, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Now, so, what do you think about that? Now you're back, you survived this. What are you doing now with the gift of life that seems to have been returned to you?
Well, I'm actually an addict and an alcoholic in recovery. I share my experience, strength, and hope, as we say in AA meetings. I open a meeting once a week. I've been aware that I've been an addict and alcoholic in recovery for many years, but I'll have 2 years in clean and sober December 18th. And thank God I have these wonderful children. I share my life with them. I've got two boys who I think they've got the gene, as it were. And I'm just going to be, I've been told, and I know it's the only thing I can do is be an example for them. But you were saying what I can do is, my brother, my older brother is very spiritual. And I think of how blessed this breath is, this life is, this moment, this time talking to you, Dave. That just life is so precious when I think of how many gifts I have and my God who gave me another chance. I kind of have that second life. It's just beautiful.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that you've taken this opportunity to turn around and try to help others with your life and that which you've experienced. Wow, what a fascinating gift to be given. Thank you so much for listening and giving us a call tonight, Kevin. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Let's go to Wild Card Line 2, Leon in San Diego. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Good evening.
Good evening, Leon. What's your story this evening?
Let's start off with the what you were saying about the Ghostbusters series. I mean, that sounds like a really good idea.
You'd like to see that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know if you remember back in the 80s, 90s, the animated series, The Real Ghostbusters.
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness. I remember this one episode where the boogeyman came out, and I swear to you, that episode just traumatized me. I don't know why. It was just so over. It had just these dark overtones, and I was like, wow. But.
Yeah, I loved the cartoons back in the 80s. I thought that was a lot of fun. But my fear is that sometimes I think it's better to leave things alone. We've got so many great ideas and so many great comedians and actors out there that I can't believe we can't come up with a better series or something new. Have you had a chance to watch that show Ghosted yet on Fox?
No, I've seen the advert for it, but I just haven't had the itch to see it.
I've got it recorded. Yeah, I haven't watched it myself. If any of the listeners out there have seen it, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on it. Is it worth our time? Should we check it out? Let me know. Yeah, but with the Ghostbusters, I mean, I'd be open to the idea if they do it right. I wouldn't mind seeing like a handover series where they keep the original series intact and then just kind of hand it over to new actors to do a fun series and maybe make it even a little bit more on the creepy side as opposed to the humorous side. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Correct. That's right. One more thing is, one thing you can do, well, not precisely on Halloween, but something you can do is, last time I fell asleep, I had the radio on, and I was listening to, I don't know if it was George Serrett or, I mean, Rich Serrett or George Norrie, but they were talking about UFOs and all these things, and I fell asleep, and I started dreaming about what they were talking about, and man, that gave me some just weird dreams.
Yeah, if you fall asleep to Coast AM, there's a good chance it might bleed into your dreams and send you off into a whole different kind of dream realm. But you know what? That's gonna leave an impression on you, isn't it?
Oh, well, definitely. But thanks. Yeah, I was waiting for Dr. Lennox, but I guess he had to go, and just had to change the gears on my subject.
Well, did you? What were you calling in? What was your dream about?
Well, it was mainly a question about how you sometimes sleep in certain positions. It gives you certain dreams. I fell asleep face down, and somehow my knees were kind of bent upwards. And I swear I dreamt I was floating on the ceiling like a helium balloon. It was just kind of funny, but it was just, you know, I just wanted to know what his thoughts were on it.
That sounds like you might have been in the beginning stages of astral projection, where your consciousness was still there, so it wasn't willing to completely let go, but the spiritual nature of who you are was starting to make that break and go out. You know, many people believe that we astral project every night and that the dreams are nothing more than our spirit journey that we're going through. So that may have been what you were dealing with. But thanks a lot for calling and listening tonight. We've got Wildcard Line 3. Richard in North Carolina, thank you for staying up late or getting up early with me. What did you want to chat about?
Well, thank you, sir. And boo and ghouling goes to y'all. No, actually, I didn't have any Halloween stuff, but I wanted desperately to find out. A good while back, George Norrie had a gentleman on the program named Wilt Champion, and they were talking about the hole that was found after the ice melted from the Arctic, and hadn't heard anything about it. It seemed like it's got swept under the rugs. I know there was talk of pyramids that were found underground and such with Mr. Champion that was on the program with George, and well, I can't believe it's just been forgotten and nobody's talking about it anymore. And, well, it came back to mind. I actually had pictures in my phone of the hole that was found and how large it was and such. But, well, just wondered if any of you guys out there might know about it or have heard what happened to the news we were getting.
I have not heard any updates, as a matter of fact, until you're bringing it up. I didn't even remember the story coming out. You know, I think they always, there's a lot of speculation and there's a lot of news sites and places out there that release these, what they call spoof news. And sometimes it gets picked up by mainstream media and they'll start to report on it and then find out that it was somebody's harebrained idea of a funny story, and then they just leave it be. And that may be why we never heard anything more about it. Or maybe there is a conspiracy behind what was found, and they did bury the story. But I don't have any ideas. If there's any listeners out there that are maybe a little bit more in the know about that, please give us a call and let us know. Thanks a lot for listening, Richard, and giving us a call. We'll go to Wildcard Line 1, Michael in West Springfield, Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Michael. What's up?
Oh, well, I have a question for you about one of the things, you know, a lot of people have these revelations, and, you know, they saw the sign in the great heavens with Revelation 12. So a lot of people think that the end is coming. I would have to say, through what I know about the Bible, that the end is just starting. And people talk about aliens and ghosts and all this stuff. My biggest thing about this is with aliens and ghosts, especially about ghosts, we've never proven it's true. And I would have to say they're not good entities unless they bring you light.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people kind of speculate about what a ghost is. You know, I think that if you're having experiences with what we believe to be ghosts and they're doing nothing but giving you messages of love and light, it's most likely just that. I think, though, some people jump to the quote-unquote demon realm too quickly because something will be bumped or they'll hear a sound that unnerves them. I believe if it's truly the demonic realm, it's not just going to annoy you. It's you will know that you're dealing with the demonic, and that'll be the full answer. Yeah.
Another thing is, I would like to go to the books outside the Bible. Mm-hmm. I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church. Okay, but I would like to go to the book of Hanuk, which is actually Enoch, and when he went to the spirit realm, he could not talk to the dead because the dead were deceased and they didn't know anything. And I would like to know what you think upon this matter.
You know, I think it's fascinating that they refer to the Book of Enoch in the Bible, but then do not allow it to be part of the canon because they felt
because
that parts of it didn't fit.
In 1316,
right,
when they established the Catholic Church and the Council of Trent, there was a big debate about this.
Right.
Why was there a big debate about this? Because everybody before that, and even Jesus spoke of, and Jude and James, who was actually his half-brother, because I do believe that Mary actually had children from him, they all speak about this. And even it was written in Genesis, and even not in that, if you look in the back of in Hindu and all these other religions, they talk about this pre-flood stuff and all this other stuff. And I think we need to dive deeper into, like, what is real history on this matter? And as people would call the Nephilim, or the, some people call them enlightened beings or whatever, the people with the oblonged heads that had the different, and you could see this, although the Smithsonian has covered it up very muchly, when the artifacts are unearthed, that they don't have the same head shape, and the cranium has the different cuts in the head, if you get what I'm talking about. They don't have the split on the top and across the bottom. It's just like that oval feature on the back where the split is in the cranium. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what the different splits are known as or what they're called either.
Okay, well, like if you go into the human anatomy, we got three plates in our head. It's split across the top, and it's split across the back near our I forget the part of the brain, but it's part of the subconscious near the back of your spine. But if you look into this stuff, and you don't look into stuff that's in the mainstream news, and you look at all this stuff, it's all different. I'm not talking about conspiracy. I'm talking about real artifacts that are confiscated and undercovered by the deep states and the governments.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm always open to the context and to the theories behind it, but I wish I had answers. And every time we think we start to understand or get answers, it seems like things shift on us and new stories pop up and new questions arise. We've got more of your calls when we return. I'm Dave Schrader sitting in for George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, thank you very much for joining me. I'm the host of Beyond the Darkness, a paranormal radio show you can hear 5 days a week. We explore the strange and supernatural world around us, along with my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. You can check out our show at darknessradio.com. And on the left side of the screen is the way to listen. Or if you're part of the Droid Nation, you can go in and download from the Google Play Store our app, the Darkness Radio app, or you can find us on Podcast One, Facebook.com under the show Beyond the Darkness. We are the best in paranormal talk radio. Again, 5 days a week, you can check out our show. We're doing the Halloween for Hunger campaign, which is, I think, about 5 years into this program. The last 3 years, we partnered up with Coast to Coast AM, and this is a great way to help. I mean, who among us doesn't know somebody that's been struck by some form of tragedy that might need help from time to again? You know, hungry people are everywhere in your life, from the single mom down the street to the clerk at your local convenience store, maybe even the grandfather you see puttering around in his yard. Well, I work with Second Harvest Heartland, and they're helping those of us in the United States that are dealing with hunger issues, whether it's kids, family, the elderly, people that need our help. And Second Harvest Heartland is there to answer that call. And their buying power is such that even a $1 donation will supply 3 meals to a person in need. You heard that right. $1 equals 3 meals for people in need. So here's how you can help. Go to darknessradio.com, click on the Halloween for Hunger banner, and you can make a direct donation, or you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll send you that link. That's dave@darknessradio.com. Let's help those around us in our communities, in our backyard, people that we may work with, people we may live next to, friends, relatives. This is our time to help. And again, there is no donation too small. $1 can help feed somebody 3 square meals for a day. 5, 10, 20, whatever you are able to donate, you're actually going to be helping 3 times that amount, because $1 will equal 3 meals. If we can raise our $15,000 goal, that means we're going to supply 45,000 meals to people in need. So please give us a hand with that. Again, at darknessradio.com, click on the Halloween for Hunger banner. And many thanks to George Norrie and Coast to Coast for allowing us to work together and partner on this program and help promote it. I'll be back again tomorrow night. It's a full night of ghosts and ghost stories, so make sure you tune in. We've got Troy Taylor and Colin Dickey joining us to talk about some of the most famous haunted locations in America and some of the most unbelievable paranormal experiences. And I'd love to hear your stories tonight, too. What is the scariest experience you've had, whether it's a nightmare or a paranormal experience? I would love for you to give us a call and share that, or you can email the stories into me at dave@darknessradio.com. Phone lines are filling up. We'll get back to your calls when we return here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM, sitting in for George Norrie. I'm Dave Schrader, broadcasting from St. Cloud, Minnesota, at Coast to Coast affiliate KNSI Radio. Let's go back to the phone lines. West of the Rockies, Corey in Billings, Montana. You're next on Coast to Coast AM.
Good morning, Dave and listeners. How's it going?
Good, Corey. What's going on?
I have 2 Halloween genre film recommendations for you.
Great. What have you got?
Well, the first one, I think most would agree, the beloved macabre family of the Addams variety is pretty popular this time of year. But did you know that there is an online web series featuring an unofficial Lindsay Addams as a young adult?
I did not know that. So what is it, like fan fiction? Somebody's doing the what she was like as a tween?
Pretty much. I would say more young adult, early 20s. They put her in modern-day situations, and they always come out pretty hilarious. They're short, I want to say, 10, 15-minute clips on YouTube you can find, and there's enough to entertain you for a good amount of time. And I highly recommend it. That was very entertaining. They're ongoing. They're self-written by the actress and self-performed by her as well.
Check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And then my second recommendation just came out on Netflix. It's a movie that Netflix made called The Babysitter. And I'll admit, I, for one, am not a huge fan of gore and monster stuff. I like more of the movies where the good triumphs over evil. But anyway, this movie, The Babysitter, if you will, if you think Satanic Cult meets Home Alone, and call it a bloody comedy, if you will, but I would say it's probably a mature PG-13 and up type film, and I found it really good and highly entertaining. There's even a nice muscle car in there, which I happen to like, so...
That's The Babysitter. Is that a new movie or a series, did you say?
No, it's a brand new movie, and it's Netflix made on Netflix.
All right, very cool. Did you have your own paranormal experience you wanted to share with us?
Well, not particularly, but as a final thought, I will mention the quandary on your Ghostbuster series, and I absolutely detest the slaughter of cult iconic films and TV shows through really bad remakes. It seems to be a fad here lately. But I don't know, like you said, I mean, if they can do it right and maybe come out with an original storyline, maybe. But other than that, I vote no.
All right. Yeah, I hope that they don't just sell out the story. Thanks a lot for calling in. It's kind of like, all right, look, there is the cult iconic movie Halloween. And the first two Halloweens really kind of set a precedent. They were the first to really do this slasher movie and make it serialized. And the idea for Carpenter was he wanted to just do one-off movies. And that's why Halloween 3 was a total jump from the Michael Myers storyline, and it went to the Season of the Witch. And there have been reboots. I came back with Halloween 4 and 5 and 6, which kind of started to bring us back into the Michael Myers realm. And then they brought out Halloween H2O, which was supposed to, I think, be an official sequel to Halloween 2 20 years later. And then that didn't do fantastic. They came out with the Halloween Resurrection, which followed up the Jamie Lee Curtis storyline, and then brought us into kind of the realm of today with reality TV. And I thought that was actually kind of a fun movie. Then, of course, they killed that series and then started up with Rob Zombie's two movies, which I'm not a fan of. And now they're bringing out a new Halloween movie, which they're kind of saying sandwiches in either right after the first Halloween movie or right after the second Halloween movie, as if all the others did not take place. And Jamie Lee Curtis is back as Laurie Strode. And that movie, I believe, is due out next year for Halloween. What do you think about that reboot? Reimagining, sequel, prequel, requel, I don't know what they're going to call it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Wild card, line 5, Tony in Corona, California.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, Tony. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I periodically call whenever something interesting strikes me. And I was trying to get in touch with different PBS programs that were talking about autonomous cars. And I asked this question, and nobody wanted to answer me.
Okay, talking about what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the topic.
Autonomous cars.
Oh, autonomous cars, okay.
Okay, I asked 5 different shows. They wouldn't answer my question, and they hung up on me, and I said, well, this is the way it goes. If the autonomous car that you're in as a passenger kills somebody, or you get killed because of a malfunction in the autonomous car, who's responsible for the insurance and who gets charged with the incident? They say, we're looking into that, you know, but nobody knows whether the manufacturer will be charged, whether you will be charged, or whether it's even necessary for you to have a driver's license anymore.
You know, I think it's going to depend on a number of different things. First of all, are you keeping the car up? Are you keeping up the upkeep? Because I'm sure, much like a warranty, if you're not following through and doing what needs to be done, which could compromise the integrity of the car, that might put it onto your fault. Then if it's a car issue that, you know, the issue stems from manufacturing and them not getting it right, obviously it's going to go back. I think it's, you know, this autonomous car thing really kind of unnerves me. With as easy as it seems to be to hack systems, that just seems like a nightmare waiting to happen. And I don't want to go down rabbit holes and conspiracy theories on that, but that's one that legitimately unnerves me. If you've got cars careening all over and somebody can just hack a system, and we're seeing major companies and organizations who thought they had streamlined security being hacked. I mean, you've got major credit companies that have been hacked. You've got major organizations around the world being hacked. I don't know that I'm ready for autonomous cars yet without the sincere proof that these companies will not be hacked and that we are not putting ourselves in danger behind the wheels. I mean, the idea of, sure, having a self-driving car that should regulate car accidents, that should stop all this the shenanigans going on out there. But I really can't see, I just don't think we're at the point yet that should be a full functioning thing.
Neither do I. But nobody wants to answer me a question on that. And
well, I don't think it's nobody wants to answer you. They don't know yet because it's not a, it's not in system. It's not in play yet as a full-time thing. So I wouldn't take it personally. I think they're trying to figure out all of these different aspects. And just like you, people are thinking these problems through and trying to make them, you know, up front.
That's the only thing that I'm concerned with. I don't think an autonomous car is going to be a good idea unless they can guarantee that the manufacturer will be responsible for all things. And if it's autonomous, it also should do autonomous maintenance. It should do it itself. You shouldn't have to be concerned with it.
Well, thank you very much. I don't agree with that. Thanks for calling in. Obviously, it's your vehicle. You should still be up for the maintenance and having to take care of it. But that's where it can become a slippery slope because, you know, are these companies, I know a lot of people that buy these extended warranties or get these tail-to-tail, tip-to-tail warranties on their cars. If they missed one oil change, can throw the whole thing off for them, or they went 500 miles over instead of 300 miles over, it can really have an impact and effect on the cars and the warranty. So it could get really sticky, but hopefully they think these things through very good and they make it clear and understandable to the consumer before they just make these things out there. Let's go. First time caller. We've got Ryan in Victoria, British Columbia. Hello, Ryan. Ryan, are you there? All right. We're going to go to wild card line two, JD in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call this evening.
Certainly, JD. What did you want to talk about?
I have a scary story.
Excellent. I love those. What have you got for me?
I was in the hospital. I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, but I couldn't move, couldn't open my eyes, but I could hear what was going on in my room. And the nurse on the left was going on about, oh, I've really screwed up. I'm going to lose my job and this and that. The nurse on the right side was saying, oh, don't worry about it. These things happen. You know, nothing will happen. You'll be fine. Then there was a third nurse, and they started asking her what she was doing. She said, well, I'm waiting to find out if I can give the Narcan shot, which they give that when someone has been overdosed or overdoses on narcotics. Well, I kind of fell back to sleep, and I woke back up, and there was a doctor in my room, and three neighbors had come to visit. Because they said, well, we've been trying to call you for days and haven't been able to get in touch with you. And the doctor left, and they started telling me about what the doctor had told them, that I had indeed been overdosed by one of the nurses. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not crazy. And they're like, what? And I told them what had happened, that I had awakened, but I couldn't move and I couldn't speak. And it was a true story that actually happened to me.
That's pretty creepy. So you were kind of having an ultra conscious out of body experience.
Well, I don't know if it was that or I just, you know, because they say when people are in comas, that they actually can hear at times.
Right.
And I just woke up, but I was just paralyzed. I couldn't move or speak. And then I drifted back into sleep again. But I'm glad they did decide to go ahead and Narcan me and bring me out of it. And the moral of the story is always, if you go in the hospital, always have somebody, if they have to do shifts, you have someone, a family member, or a friend stay with you.
Yeah, that's a pretty good piece of advice. how did that impact you? I mean, how do you go forward with that? Do you Is that just something that always kind of replays in your mind?
Oh, every day. Every day. Why do you think I stay up at night?
Well, obviously to listen to the best in overnight talk radio with George Norrie and his fellow guest hosts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm an insider and I download shows, and a friend of mine, actually, he pays for the subscription and I have to do CDs. He's computer phobic. So I have to do CDs for him. He has a library.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for helping him get the show. We appreciate that. As we appreciate all of you, and thank you for calling in. We appreciate you being a part of our world and sharing this as well. And remember, if you have missed any part of the shows and you'd like to be able to catch up, then it's real easy. You can become a Coast Insider, just like our last caller, JD, was talking about. How do you do that? Well, go to coasttocoastam.com. You can become a Coast Insider, and literally for 15 cents a day, that's all it takes. Less than a postage stamp at this point, you're able to access over 5 years of past archives of the best in overnight talk radio. Coast to Coast AM has some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking stories, guests, and new concepts. And this is a great show for you to explore the possibilities of human nature, of spirituality, of conspiracies, and more. And when you subscribe, you get those 5 years. You can cherry pick through and find your favorite shows. Are you more of a cryptid creature fan? Do you like Bigfoot and the Flatwoods Monster? Maybe the Snallygaster? Skunk Apes? Well, you can find all the episodes regarding that. Maybe you like celebrity interviews. Well, you can find some of the greatest celebrity interviews through George Norrie right here. What about aliens, UFOs, and abductions? We've got them for you, and it's all part of the Insiders Club. When you subscribe, you'll get access to 5 years of past shows. You'll get access to live chats with George Norrie and all of the fascinating guests you hear on the show. Eventually come on to do these live chats as well. You'll also get the opportunity to get some exclusive content and know first how to go see George Norrie and where he's going to be around the United States at live events. So stop waiting. Don't sit around waiting anymore. Become a Coast Insider. And remember, it makes a great gift for your friends that already have everything. Get them a subscription and let them become a Coast Insider as well. And there's no reason for you to be alone anymore, right? We got the holidays coming up. You've got Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and Valentine's Day right up against each other. We'd like you to find the love of your life or your new best friend. George Norrie has put together ParanormalDate.com. You can go check that out and find about 60,000 subscribers, people just like you, fascinated by all aspects of the supernatural, the paranormal. I mean, imagine how much easier that first conversation is going to be, knowing that these people are just as fascinated by the fringe elements of our life as you are. So sign up now at ParanormalDate.com. Find the love of your life. Find your best friend and open up a whole new facet of your world. We've got more calls coming your way. And again, if you'd like to email me your stories or questions, you can do that to dave@darknessradio.com. Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls for the remainder of the show this evening. So let me hear from you. What's your scariest experience? What's your favorite Halloween and scary movie for the season? We'll talk about that and more right here on Coast to Coast AM.